Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. And oh boy, it's been a really interesting day these past 46 or so hours that I've been awake and working. Because yeah, events are once again picking up, and had a lot of things to catch up to. Some of them are, well, more sad, and some of them are more kind of weird. But still, it looks like I'll be sleeping every other day for a while at least. Because you see, the massive assault has barely happened. It's gone totally awry. Because, well, at least in the part of Ugljedar, the massive assault has been led so incompetently that not only Igor Girkin, our buddy, you know, complains about it. Even Wagner Group channels are complaining about the whole ineptitude, and the same thing happens everywhere. Reports from the front are about the fact that, people just driving straight up with zero air support, practically without any artillery because they lack ammo, and they continue to bashing their heads in. And in Ugljedar, that caused a massive fuss today, since, well, a lot of tanks were destroyed, hundreds of dead, and extremely few, if any, casualties from Ukrainian side. I posted this on my Facebook and on Mastodon, but similar reports have been coming in all day long, and night as well. And Igor Girkin, he also reported at some points on his Telegram channel that, oh no, this one village has been possibly taken. No, there are no major significant successes of the Russian side, except tanks that have driven in on the minefield because someone forgot to tell them that they're on the minefield. It's pretty bad. And I really don't know what people were expecting. I mean, this was touted as the number one thing by the pro-Kremlin media. But the Turbo Patriots, If you are new to the show, please check out my previous episodes, because it's just a bit too long to explain the whole narrative of who is Girkin and what are Turbo Patriots. But yeah, Turbo Patriots are now kind of saying I told you so in a sad way. No one's really happy about it in the Russian side, but this is ineptitude of just magnificent proportions. I can't even report any major success there. It's just weird. But a lot of weird things going on, and it's just the casualty numbers are just coming in all the time. I'm also watching Michael Nike and everyone else, and they're all just confused about how weird and pointless all this is. Like, the incompetency is ridiculous. By the way, interestingly enough, it's the Russian Marines who are being forced to just, you know, forced to run into assaults, just like, you know, regular troops. It's they've been taking up a bunch of casualties, which is a bit crazy. And all this is, again, playing on the existing conflict between Turbo Patriots and the Putin's media. And remember that the Nazi guy that was, you know, killed very recently, which I talked about in my last episode. Well, yeah, it turns out the Turbo Patriots are doing their own investigation because the government, Russian government, isn't doing anything. And the problem here being is that all the evidence that the so-called Turbo Patriots, namely Murs and Igor Girkin, what they find, it all sort of comes up as this wasn't a Ukrainian special operation. This was probably Wagner Group who was told to do that by Putin. Because last checkpoint, like, Wagner Group at some points just apparently had set up checkpoints for the first time ever and since. And on one of those checkpoints, apparently this, you know, Nazi guy was stopped. So now, you know, the conflict is growing wider and everyone's just being a bit more confused about the situation. It kind of pleases me, but it's just the whole mess to follow and keep everything oriented. In the meantime, well, we have some complaints about, at this point, I guess my friend Elon Musk. Because apparently Starlink have proudly announced that they've patched the ability for Starlink to be used in drones and stuff like that. They can't be put in there. Now, I had to look this one up and talk to some experts about this. It's not that Starlink internet can't be used for drones or for correcting artillery fire if you're just using it on a computer. Here, apparently, they patched something where you could, like, put a microchip in a drone and then it would automatically connect to the Starlink and you know, Ukrainians had been using it that way. Starlink commented that, you know, Starlink was never intended to be used as a weapon. But it just seems weird to me when they're literally building a project for the US Army called Starshield. And again, how is your internet being used in a chip that's put in a drone, which then flies and explodes, different to someone using your internet from a tab, just, you know, watching and correcting artillery fire where everything's happening? It's just a weird hypocrisy, really, and it's just beyond weird about all this situation. Sadly, well, I don't know. I'm really happy about the whole visit that happened and that Zelensky got his medal. But I'd rather, you know, he'd be happier if he'd got some planes and tanks and whatnot. However, due to how he was, you know, how he was treated in Europarlament, although Chinese representatives in the Europarlament the day before stated that no, arming Ukraine is wrong and stuff, you know, in Europarlament he was treated very well and nicely, and I really don't know what needs to happen for everyone in the EU to get their stuff together and act a bit quicker. Meanwhile, and this is the most fun news, the last one that I found out, because, oh boy, this is third version of this episode. I had to cut some stuff out, but this is stuff which I can genuinely tell you that no one will report from the English-speaking audience, because this just happened. See, there was a book that was about to be launched, End of the Regime, in one of the more popular bookstores in Russia, you know, one that caters to more liberal audiences, the Russia liberal ones. It was called Falamster. And, you know, these guys, they had a new book coming out, one Alexander Banuov's new book, End of Regime. And apparently, according to Medusa, they, quote, they were, this bookshop was confronted with censorship when trying to send out a marketing SMS. The title, End of Regime, appears to have triggered censorship filters across multiple wireless providers when mentioned in an SMS. And, well, several days later, basically, the book wasn't selling, even though people had pre-ordered it and no one found out. And apparently, a couple of days later, technical support, who kind of ran through these services, said that, quote, the message could not be delivered because it contained possibly illegal information. And the latest report is that the message finally went out when the words "End of Regime" were deleted from the text. Now, the author himself, Alexander Baumov, says he should have given his book a different title, maybe Regime Without End. But, yeah, apparently calling Putin a regime is a bad thing. But you see, this book really was popular, and like I said, amongst the Russian intellectual crowd. Do you know who also are in Russian intellectual crowd? Hackers. Because there's a hacker group which have been recently hacking every TV station and showing Nevzorov's shows and what's really happening in various towns across well, all Russia. And, yeah. Belarusian hacker group, Cyber Partisans, managed to basically acquire, somehow, an official Roskomnadzor document. And Roskomnadzor is the organization in Russia that basically does what NSA does in the United States. They are the big guys who look over everything. You know, they're the guys who scan your internet and determine if you're posting something extreme or illegal or criminal. And the text that I got is pure genius. That is literally the full list, which are of the very kind of illegal to use, suspicious, and even sometimes extremist keywords, which are, you know, to be checked always when used together with Mr. Putin. Basically, this is the whole... There is now leaked on the internet a huge list in Russian about all the ways Mr. Putin does not want to be associated with, or he doesn't want to be called names. Now, I gotta tell you, you know, I've even made an episode about Russian swear words. But I read that list, and it even challenged me. Couldn't even imagine some of these words. So, you know, I won't go through reading all of this to you, because reading just a huge list of about 2 A4 pages, which consist of nothing but various swear words, yeah, that's a bit daunting. I just wanted to pick out something interesting. And there are some things which you can definitely use in your everyday life. See, first off, there are 3 sections in this document. And the first one, for some unknown reason, is very specific. They specifically are about any words related or showing that the president might be interested in pedophilia. Now, there's all sorts of things. You can't say anything that the president loves children, anything of that sort. But in this section, there are two words that are specific. One is just contact. No, not contact with anything. Just if you mention contact and Putin, apparently they'll view this. And pedo bear also made sense, both in Russian and in English. Those are the two weirdest ones. So Putin personally apparently knows what pedo bear is. Someone please make memes about it. But that wasn't as interesting as the next section, which was the mention of president in the context of, sexual relationships. And, you know, then there was a huge list, once again, about every possible word on various degrees of rudeness in any way related to sex. And which, apparently, you know, if you mention them together with the president somehow, then, you know, that's sexual and that's bad and you might get into trouble. And they have, like, all these written documents. Interestingly enough, that in this section, very specific section, which is only about sexual relationships, there are also words like tyrant, elections, terms, and protests. I think it kind of, and they're together with rapist, lots of rude swear words and various epithets. But yeah, you know, it kind of shows what Putin thinks about honest elections. And then there was the weirdest and longest part. Just general mat rudeness, which was just a huge one. And besides all the various ways about how Putin doesn't want to be called a shit eater and many other words, which are all just too weird and long to say, I do have to say that some of them were interesting. In this section, apparently, well, due to how the country name of Honduras sounds kind of like a condom in Russian, yeah, apparently if you mention Honduras together with Putin, that's bad, because, you know, that's slang in Russian as well, but just so you know. Also, in general, a total very weird swear words was corruption, sanctions, czar, KGB, banditism, lack of money. Yes, lack of money is a swear word for these ultra-elites. And, interestingly enough, an interesting remake of an old Soviet saying. Watching over the order, kind of irregularities does not concern him. That comes from the old saying that Soviet militia, yeah, that they only care about the orderly stuff and they're not interested into investigating any kind of crimes or whatever. Also, apparently, I thought there would be some jokes about him being short, but that's couldn't find it on the list. But apparently he's really sensitive about his hair. If you call him, you know, bald, then he will, you know, be offended. But those are just weird things that I didn't think that they should, you know, be in there. But two nice little words which are there for you guys who speak Russian, which are apparently just so beautiful that I had to include them because they are true in true Mat style swear words with some artistic merit to them. I, for example, will continue to call Mr. Putin Archipizdrit. That comes from arch vagina something. It's weird. And then there is pizdostradatel, or the one who suffers because of a vagina or something. It is just beyond weird. And yeah. Now, if someone asks, what do you think about Mr. Putin? You know, just replace Mr. with any of these words, and I'm sure you'll do just fine. But yeah, with the war going bad, and apparently now that we know the whole list of things, there's another interesting thing that is quite showing that the Russian economy isn't doing that well. They also recently made a whole kind of a economics forum, whose whole thing was basically... they asked the largest kind of businessmen in Russia to please voluntarily donate some money to the Russian budget because it's going really bad. And surprisingly enough, these guys just said, well, no. Now, I don't know if they know something that I don't, but again, kind of shows the weakness of Putin's internal power. And also, if I was them, I'd be, you know, not going very close to windows. But I think, well, and I'll end this episode on this, because lots of war precise news and tanks to recognize, and I don't want to give you precise front information besides Ugledar, which I can confirm and I know about. Before anything happens, it's a lot of statistics data. We're gonna have a huge episode where we just go city by city, everything that's happening there. I just want to make sure that it's done properly, because currently on Telegram, if someone is sharing you that on Twitter or anything like that without actual sources, it might as well just be fake, because Russian side has, even people who are on the front from the Russian side, they're reporting that, oh boy, yeah, many false flags, many weirdnesses going on right now. Why? Well, again, because like the Turbo Patriots of Russia always state, their communications are effed completely. A lot of times they just don't work. And, well, even when people are trying to do their genocidal job to the best of their ability, oftentimes it just goes wrong. Just another example of how badly everything is organized. But yeah, my final thing about why I'm pretty sure that that the whole Russian thing and economy and via sanctions are working. See, they recently, literally today in the morning, started on Telegram sending out messages inviting everyone, where they, you know, need people in the 22nd of February, 18 plus, to go to a concert. Obviously, passports are needed because, well, you know, the mass participants in, which is going to happen because they're going to make a concert, there's going to be a huge protest to show people's support for Putin and everything. Yeah, apparently they're paying their, you know, people who are totally voluntarily going there and being happy, 500 rubles. First of all, that's three times less than, you know, from the whole previous thing, which was when the referendum happened. Secondly, I just wanted to leave you with this. 500 rubles is about 6.4 euros. About the same in dollars, about $7. Now, I'm really sorry, but when someone, again, you know, when I see some advertisements or where someone, you know, is trying to argue with me or sending angry emails about how Russia is actually super glorious and how the West is just making it look bad. Yeah, you know, if you live in a country where your government can pay you literally $7 for you to just, you know, go and participate somewhere out there in support of the war, and you'll actually go there, That's just saying something. I mean, that is just kind of sad. Because 6.4 euros. Apparently that's how much a person's dignity is worth there. And again, I'm kind of surprised it's worth anything really at this point, but just kind of shows. Yeah, like I said, this episode a bit more philosophical, and about the whole swearing thing and everything, it's just because now I have a lot of data, hard one to analyze and figure out what's happening, because Russian liberals, they're getting a bit sad as well. Everyone's going crazy, lots of work in front of me, I have to double check all the captured cities and towns and everything. Gotta analyze war crimes as well. That's all coming soon. For now, до свидания, товарищ. And remember that if you want to become our patron, you can do that in patreon.com/theeasternborder. You can also just go to theeasternborder.lv and click the donate button there and just listen from that site. If you wish, you can just also just email us and it's going to be nice. We're on Mastodon. I have to find out the precise link there, but just that they have many servers and everything. But yeah, seems like episodes are coming more densely again, and I'll probably get some sleep because, oh boy, I have 3 hours to do that, and then back to work I go. Now, more than ever, happiness is mandatory.